I'm Eric Rosales. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly. More destruction and violence in the Middle East as the conflict between Israel and Iran grows, what it could mean for U.S. involvement. Caught in his tracks. After a suspenseful manhunt up north, authorities arrest the man suspected of killing a prominent Minnesota lawmaker. What we're learning today. Batter up. Pope Leo XIV sends a message to those who gather for Mass in Chicago. And it's more than a game. Why the Pope says there's a connection between sports and the Holy Trinity. These stories and much more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thanks for being with us. Our top story tonight, escalation in the Middle East. Attacks between Israel and Iran have carried into its fourth day. And take a look at this. One strike targeting Iran's state-run television station was caught on camera. Meanwhile, Iran has fired hundreds of missiles towards Israel. While most were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome, more than a dozen have gotten through, striking targets on the ground, such as an oil refinery and residential buildings. Right now, it's still unclear just how many people have died, but reports say dozens of Israelis have been killed and more than 200 Iranians have lost their lives since the attack started on Friday. The attacks from Israel are targeting Iran's missile and nuclear sites. Today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Iran's nuclear program has been set back, quote, a very, very long time. Meanwhile, Iran is calling Israel's attack on the television station a war crime. And Pope Leo XIV has also weighed in on the violence, calling for more dialogue and remarks to pilgrims over the weekend. The Holy Father said in part, quote, at such a delicate moment, I wish to strongly renew an appeal to responsibility and reason. Our commitment to building a safer world free from the nuclear threat must be pursued through respectful encounters and sincere dialogue. President Donald Trump is encouraging Iran to make a deal to stop fighting with Israel. He spoke today about the conflict in the Middle East during his trip to Canada for the G7 summit. Let's check in with White House correspondent Owen Jensen with the very latest. Owen.
Eric, good evening to you. World leaders now face several pressing issues, including trade and immigration. Add to that the ongoing deadly conflict between Israel and Iran.
President Donald Trump speaks about the Middle East during his G7 meetings in Canada. He said Iran failed to meet his deadline.
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days, and they had 60 days, and on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. They have to make a deal, and it's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war, and they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
President Trump declined to talk about U.S. military involvement, but he made it clear.
We've always supported Israel. We have for a long period of time, strongly, and Israel's doing very well right now.
President Trump earlier posted, Iran and Israel should make a deal and will make a deal, adding, we will have peace soon between Israel and Iran. Many calls and meetings now taking place. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops also urges peace, writing, the further proliferation of nuclear weapons in the Middle East, as well as this escalation of violence, imperils the fragile stability remaining in the region. President Trump posed for pictures with the new Canadian Prime Minister after the two talked earlier.
This marks the 50th birthday of the G7, and the G7 is nothing without U.S. leadership.
President Trump said it was a mistake to kick Russia out of the G8. Because he thinks if Russian President Vladimir Putin was still at the negotiating table, then the war in Ukraine would have never happened.
Putin speaks to me. He doesn't speak to anybody else. He doesn't want to talk. Because he was very insulted when he got thrown out of the G8. As I would be, as you would be, as anybody would be. He was very insulted.
President Trump also hopes to work with Canada and other countries to reach new trade deals.
The Canadian Prime Minister says this is a turning point in history, and that the world is more divided and dangerous. And President Trump planned to join discussions about the spread of weapons of mass destruction. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you very much, Owen. For more on the conflict between Iran and Israel, let's turn to Eugene Kontorovich, Senior Research Fellow with the Heritage Foundation. Eugene, thanks for being with us. Now, you're currently on the ground in Israel. What's it like? Describe it for us.
I have to say, it's pretty normal, other than the fact that there are sirens and bomb alerts a couple times a day, mostly at night. But the mood of the people is very high. Israel, of course, has been at war for almost 2 years since it was attacked simultaneously on October 7th, 2023, by Hezbollah, Iran's ally in Lebanon, and Hamas. So now, you know, there's a feeling in Israel that this is coming full circle, and finally we're at the last level going against the head bad guy.
Well, Eugene, a number of missiles are actually getting through the Iron Dome. Is that because there's just too many missiles that are being fired against Israel?
Yeah, the Iron Dome and other Israeli defensive systems have about a 90% accuracy, which means some things are going to make it through. Right. Iran tries to shoot off a bunch at once in order to overwhelm the system. So far, only a few have gotten through on each volley, but that is enough to kill innocent civilians.
And no doubt President Trump has to make some big choices, big decisions on what he wants the United States, on how much he wants us to get involved. What's your opinion on what's next for the U.S.?
Look, it all depends how much patience President Trump has for this war. Israel's clearly in a superior position. Israel's established air dominance, and Israel is going to slowly now dismantle Iran's nuclear program, which is what it came for. The United States, with its much larger bombs, could do that job faster. It could do it in a day, what it could take Israel weeks to do. On the other hand, Israel could do this without the United States. Nobody is asking American servicemen to put their lives in danger. And it depends whether President Trump wants the short way or the longer way.
Yeah, on that note, Fordow is Iran's second largest and most heavily protected nuclear site. It's deep underground in the mountain, and Israel doesn't have the bunker-busting bombs to get through that rock, but the U.S. Air Force does. Could this be a determining factor?
This is a way in which the United States could help, but again, the United States doesn't have to do it themselves. This is not a matter of asking for America to come send troops. America can do what it did in World War II, when it lent military material, ships, to Britain, to the Soviet Union, as part of the Lend-Lease program. America did not want to get involved fighting Hitler in the early days and years of the war. And so instead, they provided crucial material to Britain, to the Soviet Union, when they were fighting. And if America were just to lease one of these bombers and some of these bombs to Israel, the war would be over and the Middle East would be safe from nuclear proliferation overnight.
All right, Eugene, I'm going to leave it right there. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Israel and Iran violence are certainly drawing a lot of attention on Capitol Hill as well. Republican leaders say that Israel has the right to defend itself, even as they call for a diplomatic solution. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, well, he took it a lot further and said that force may be the only option for the Trump administration.
If diplomacy fails, Mr. President, President Trump, you've been great. Help Israel finish the job. Give them bombs, fly with them if necessary. I cannot stress to you how, if you want to get Russia right, you want to make China be better, you want to convince international terrorism we mean business, you got to finish the job with Iran.
Some Democrats question why Israel would launch an attack when talks are ongoing between the U.S. and Iran over Iran's development of nuclear weapons. Others fear that in retaliation, Iran will also target the United States, one of Israel's closest allies.
What we know is that they are not going to differentiate between what Israel does and what the United States does, even though we've heard Secretary Rubio say that the United States has not been part of coordinating this attack or supplying weapons.
We're also following the other top story. Disturbing details are out after four state lawmakers were shot in Minnesota, killing two of them. Vance Bolter is facing federal murder and stalking charges. He's accused of shooting and killing State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband early Saturday morning inside their home. Police say that he also shot State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. They both survived. Today, investigators revealed that he also went to two other lawmakers' homes that night. Thankfully, one wasn't home and police showed up at the other, so he ran away. The killings led to a 43-hour manhunt that ended with his arrest late last night. Governor Tim Walz promises justice will be served.
And you can rest assured that we will put every ounce of effort that the state of Minnesota has to make sure that justice is served and the individual responsible for this serves the time for the unspeakable act.
And back here in Washington, D.C., members of Congress say that the events have renewed concerns about their security and even threats facing their families.
I think people know that elected officials get threats. A lot of them you never hear about. Judges, election workers. This has gotten totally out of hand with threats against members of Congress. In 2016, there were like 1,700 of them. Last year, over 9,000 of them.
As a member of the Florida legislature, I actually had two people arrested, prosecuted, and locked up for making death threats against me and my family. So I understand the threat that this faces, and we do need to provide more security for legislators. It's absolutely needed.
According to U.S. Capitol Police, the number of threat cases has climbed for the second year in a row. In 2024, a special unit investigated over 9,400 direct threats against members of Congress, including their families and staff members. And joining us now is the Auxiliary Bishop Kevin Kenny from the Diocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Your Excellency, thank you so much for joining us today. And first off, how are the people of Minnesota doing after such a horrific, violent weekend?
Well, it's unspeakable. We're kind of numb about the whole situation of how it happened and how it could have happened. But it's also numbing to all of us. But the whole safety issue of how do we care for one another and how do we respect life is something that really is coming to the forefront.
Certainly is. And we know that Melissa Hortman was Catholic and she met regularly with Catholic bishops. Did you know her?
Yes. Annually, the bishops of Minnesota meet with the people in the legislature, and we were able to meet with her a couple times. And I also, she and John Hoffman had a chance to speak with them a little bit about issues in the current budget. So it is kind of sobering to think that, you know, somebody could easily be taken out as much as they were.
Yeah, definitely. Our prayers go out to everyone out there. And have you seen any acts or moments of solidarity among the Catholic faithful in Minnesota responding to the shooting?
Well, just the prayers and over the weekend at the churches, and also I belong to an interfaith group. And, you know, the rabbis, the imams, the Protestant ministers, the Catholics are all coming together to pray for this and hopefully to unite our congregations in a sense of how do we work for unity and, you know, to agree to disagree. But how do we do that in a respectful way with dialogue and debate, but yet to respect one another?
Most definitely. I mean, we're seeing too much of this, you know, number of reports up on Capitol Hill. And what's your message for Catholics, Catholic faithful, not only in Minnesota, but across the entire country, sir?
Well, how do we come back to healing? How do we come back to being united in the faith and in a way that we can live our lives in a way according to how God calls us to? But prayer one, and then healing and conversion in the sense of we getting back to respecting life. If we disagree, we just don't take a person out. We sit down, we dialogue with them, and we agree to disagree. But the church as well is very divided. But yet we can get together, we can pray, we can celebrate communion, we can be together without having to be threatened by one another. And that's what the message is that we need to bring. That peace that Jesus gives to us is a peace that, you know, opens our hearts to one another and to bring us to that unity.
Amen to that. Bishop Kenny, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Eric.
God bless. Well, we still have a lot more to come on EWTN News Nightly, including First Meeting. The President's new Religious Liberty Commission meets for the first time today, and we speak with Bishop Robert Barron about how it went. And thousands of faithful gather in Chicago to celebrate the Holy Father, and he sends them a message. We'll show you what he had to say. Welcome back. This past weekend, organizers estimate that more than 5 million people participated in more than 2,000 planned protests across the country. The so-called No Kings protests saw scores of people speaking out against the immigration policies of the Trump administration. Governors across the U.S. urged calm, and some even mobilized the National Guard. Meanwhile, in Salt Lake City, Utah, police say an innocent bystander was shot and killed during a protest. A 24-year-old man has been arrested and is now facing a murder charge. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case regarding a pro-life pregnancy care center in New Jersey. The justices will decide whether First Choice Women's Resource Centers, which operates about 5 clinics in the state, can go to federal court to fight a state-level subpoena from the Attorney General of New Jersey. The state's AG wants the center's donor list, which contains about 5,000 names and other confidential information. First Choice is being represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom. The organization's senior counsel, Aaron Hawley, says in part, quote, New Jersey's attorney general is targeting First Choice, a ministry that provides parenting classes, free ultrasounds, baby clothes, and more to its community simply because of its pro-life views. And protecting religious liberties from attacks is a key priority for the Trump administration's new Religious Liberty Commission. The commission met today at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Its mission? To create a report for the White House that lays out the current threats to religious freedom and looks for ways to protect it. Organizers say it's everyone's freedom spelled out in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights. Among those in attendance, Bishop Robert Barron, who we asked how everyday Catholics can protect religious liberty.
Well, you know, I would say is to live your faith boldly and publicly. So we talk about in the First Amendment, you know, the Congress makes no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. I think that opens up a space for free expression of your religion. I think in some ways we Americans get cowed into privatizing our faith. Oh, somehow we'll be too offensive or it'll cause too much trouble. Well, no. Think of the First Amendment as giving us free rein that we can express our faith in a public way.
Bishop Barron also warned about what he calls, quote, a culture of self-invention that wants to be a dominant philosophy of the world, and one, he says, aims to drive religion out of the public space. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, Double Play. Thousands of faithful gather in Chicago for a special mass for Pope Leo XIV. Plus a report from Rome on a Jubilee event dedicated to athletes. Thousands of people gathered Saturday at the home of the Chicago White Sox. However, the event had nothing to do with baseball. Wow, how beautiful is that? That was part of the mass for Chicago native Pope Leo. The day included videos and speakers who honored the first American pope. Pope Leo could not attend in person, so he sent a video message encouraging young people to be beacons of hope.
As you gather together as a faith community, as you celebrate in the Archdiocese of Chicago, as you offer your own experience of joy and of hope, you can find out, you can discover that you too are indeed beacons of hope.
For more, let's check in with Jonathan Liedl, senior editor for the National Catholic Register, who attended Saturday's celebration. Jonathan, great to be with you. First off, what stood off the most about Saturday's event?
I think in a word, I'd say unity. I think in the midst of so much division going on in the United States right now, Saturday's event was really a sort of incredible unifying experience of tens of thousands of Catholics coming out and uniting around Pope Leo XIV. There were people there of every walk of life, different races, different ages. And a number of people told me that they really see Pope Leo XIV as a figure to rally around in the midst of these divisions and conflicts. And the one thing I'd add to that is when Pope Leo XIV gave his own video message, he didn't talk about himself, but he talked about Christ, right? He directed the people who were there celebrating him, paying attention to his message, to Christ and God as really the ultimate source of unity. So that was a big takeaway for me.
Absolutely beautiful there. And how many people are we talking about? I mean, we had tens of thousands, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The estimates indicate that it was about 30,000 people, which is about 75% of the capacity at Wright Field. And really, the stands began to kind of fill up throughout the afternoon, culminating with mass at 4 p.m., which was really beautiful to be there in a major league ballpark. The stands nearly at full capacity, having people worshiping God, singing hymns. So a very powerful and surreal kind of moment.
I tell you what, Catholic and baseball, nothing better than that. And is there any indication that Pope Leo XIV will actually travel to the United States at some point?
Well, I'd say that's certainly the hope of a lot of people, including the vice president of the Chicago White Sox, who said, "Pope Leo, there's an open invitation for you to come here and throw out, you know, the ceremonial first pitch at a game." He said the mound is waiting.
Oh, great.
But as far as indications go, there's no official indication that Pope Leo has plans to come visit his home country. In fact, Lester Holt with NBC in an audience with Pope Leo and members of the media asked him that question, if he was going to return to the U.S. anytime soon. And he said that Pope Leo told him, "I don't think so." So we might have to wait a little while for a homecoming.
Did any Chicago officials or anybody else say that something like this may be planned again in the near future or anywhere in the United States?
Well, Chicago, obviously, as the hometown of Pope Leo XIV, had kind of the first swing at the bat in terms of doing an event like this. I do know that already a year from now, the Archdiocese of San Antonio is already planning to commemorate the one-year anniversary of his installation. But I'd say, you know, across the country, for instance, even at my home parish in Mishawaka, Indiana, we're going to have a special mass for Pope Leo coming up in July. So, you know, whether it's at a big baseball stadium or in your home parish, there will continue to be a lot of opportunities to celebrate our first American Pope and give thanks to God.
Amen to that. Well, Jonathan Liedl, thank you so much for joining us from the National Catholic Register. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And by the way, this weekend's event also featured a sports theme with a Jubilee event for athletes. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settegren has more.
Sport has a unique way of bringing people together and closer to God. This was what Pope Leo told the thousands of athletes of different sports and backgrounds gathered in St. Peter's Basilica on the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity for the widely anticipated Jubilee of Sport. In his homily, Pope Leo stressed that sport can help us encounter the triune God because it challenges us to relate to others and with others, both outwardly and inwardly.
Lo sport, specialmente quando è di squadra,
sport, especially team sports, teaches the value of cooperating, working together and sharing. These, as we said, are at the very heart of God's own life. Sport can thus become an important means of reconciliation and encounter.
Across Rome, sporting events were held to celebrate the beauty and joy of sport. The Caritas Cup, which was founded 5 years ago by three high school students in Scotland as a way to engage young Catholics in their faith through sport, was one of them. Inspired by the values and mission of Caritas, the Catholic Church's global charity network, it has united schools and communities across Scotland and is now expanding internationally, reaching Rome to launch and celebrate the Jubilee of Sport.
It gets to bring young people back to the church and give them an avenue to stay in the church. So as soon as we finish secondary school in Scotland, people kind of leave. It's the last sort of chance they've got to stay. And I think the Caritas Cup is an avenue for that.
Before their game, the Caritas Cup players gathered to pray at the Pontifical Scots College in Rome. For the young men, the project offers a way to grow together in both friendship and faith through the shared values that sport and Christian life have in common.
There's people here that have maybe, myself included, fallen away from the church, but this has brought us back into it. And especially, it's just a sort of feeling of community as well that you get.
Beyond bringing together young Catholics to play football and netball tournaments in their diocese, the players also raise funds for vital Caritas projects around the world. This year, the team is supporting emergency aid efforts in the Holy Land through a project run by SCIAF, the Scottish Catholic International Aid Fund.
I think that this is another real plus of including young people is that
You know, the work that Caritas does is serious, that's for sure, but it doesn't mean that we can't approach it with a joyful spirit. And I think that young people always remind us of this.
In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
What an incredible story. We'd like to thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Eric Rosales. Have a good night. Y vaya con Dios.